God Network News.
Where we give you a new perspective
on events happening in our world today.
This is GNN.
This is God Network News, episode 56. Welcome, GNN fans, to another episode of God Network News, the podcast that tells you what God's doing around the world. Not what CNN tells you, but what GNN tells you is going on in the world. If you're tired of listening to all of that crisis network news and you want to hear what God's doing, well, give us a listen.
This podcast is proudly listed at podcastpickle.com.
We want to greet all of our GNN fans out there all over the world to another episode of GNN God Network News. Thank you very much for subscribing and listening and connecting to this feed. And please tell as many friends that you have out there about this really great podcast. We've got a lot of good content for you over the next few weeks. We've gathered a lot of great stories when we were on our travels recently all around the world and especially in the USA. We now live in Thailand, so going to the US is like a huge trip for us. But it's well worth it when we do get to go. So we have a really great episode for you that is kind of a combination of a number of recordings that we did with a friend of ours in Hawaii at a radio station. We combined it together and made one interview out of it. So I hope you enjoy it.
This is Word to the World, a radio outreach ministry with Danny Lehman. Listen now as Danny encourages us to take the word to the world.
I'd like to welcome you again today to Word to the World for another broadcast on world missions. And I want to jump right into, without any further ado, my interview with Calvin Conkey. His wife Carol will be with us later in the week. But Calvin has been sharing with us a little bit about the ministry of Create International. They've created at least 55 evangelistic films in the language and the heart language of the people that they're trying to reach. Not only the bigger languages like Hindi and Urdu and some of these languages, but also some of the smaller tribal languages as well. Calvin, why don't you tell us a little bit about your story? A lot of people are listening to this and they're saying, yeah, missionary work, but how can I get involved? What's the first step? Why don't you tell us how you got involved? I know you did a couple of YWAM schools, but then you got a heart for media in missions and making evangelistic films. You didn't have any money. So tell us how this started and how it's grown to where it is today.
Yeah, well, I had been involved in cross-cultural missions for a while and training people for that, and not really media, but it's when I met my wife, who was very involved in media, that I really got turned on to it, because I began to see the potential of how media can multiply our witness. And also, it can also go cross-culturally if you know what you're doing when you're producing indigenous films. And the media is one of the most powerful tools that can be used to communicate anything. So why not use it for communicating the gospel cross-culturally? So we got involved in it right at the beginning. First, back in the day, 22 years ago or so when we started, in order to get a nice video editing suite, it might cost you about $500,000. Well, we definitely didn't have that kind of money. So we just started with slideshows, multi-projector slideshows, and just doing what we could until God started lifting the technology and lowering the price until we could actually start getting into it. And now, for $5,000 or less, you can get a whole editing suite that can do a lot more than that big editing suite can do. And so we're able to do amazing things now. And also, the young people that are in high school today are already making films before they even graduate. So we don't have to even train them too much. We just give them a heart for missions, a heart for unreached, give them a little bit of a direction and an opportunity, and they go for it.
Tell us a little bit about the issue of a cross-cultural. You mentioned the word indigenous. And we know the Jesus film has been used across cultures, but it still is it's done in a certain cultural way of making a movie. Tell us about how this might be distinct in some of the things you're doing in trying to make it real culture specific.
Yeah, well, the difference really is that the Jesus film was made for a Western audience, mm-hmm. and it was an excellent film, and it's been dubbed in many languages and used by the Lord in a great way. But what people are really needing to see today is something that is from them, you know, something that honors their culture and brings the gospel to them in a way that they can understand. So when we produce these indigenous films, we use actors from that people group. As the actors, we craft a story that is really a unique story from their life, their culture, their history, and then we weave the gospel message in a very natural way. So that in the end, our goal is that they don't even know that a foreigner produced this film. Mm. In fact, we were just over in Kona, and we met a Uyghur brother who's become a follower of Jesus, and he knew
Tell us about Uyghurs. Most
yes, okay.
Know
Uyghurs are a very unreached people group, a Muslim group that live in Central Asia and China. So this brother had come to the Lord, and he mentioned to us, "Oh, I know about your film, but I thought that Uyghurs made that film." And we said, "Wow, that's a fantastic testimony. That makes it all worth it."
Fantastic. Cal, as we were talking off the air a couple minutes ago, we're really high here in Hawaii on Bethany Hamilton's latest movie, Soul Surfer, and we know there are thousands of people that have already responded to Jesus as a result of this film, and that's your real heart, is to produce evangelistic films, especially to those that have never heard. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your own journey and how you got into this, and we'll keep it going for the next couple of weeks on the broadcast.
Right, Danny, thank you very much for the opportunity to share with you. It's really exciting to be involved in missions today because many people think that missionaries are folks that just go out into the jungle and live in a hut and, you know, learn another language for 20 years and, you know, eat grubs. And that just isn't what missions is today. I often tell people that some of the least reached people, some of the most unreached peoples in the world are urban people. They use iPods, iPads, you know, they have HD television sets and all this. And actually, they can be reached through media and other forms of communication and the internet better than probably any other tool that's out there today.
Mm-hmm. A lot of unreached people are very poor as well as being unreached, and they wouldn't have a computer for certain types of communication. But you've developed some films that have access even to the poorest of the poor. Is that right?
That's right. Well, not only do we produce art evangelistic tools, which are illustration tools of Bible stories and things, but they're created in the way that culture would see things, the way they would illustrate or paint things so that they can understand the story really clearly. But also we're beginning to put our films, we're also making shorter films like viral evangelistic films that can be put onto your mobile phone or other kinds of mobile devices. And it's interesting, it is true that much of the unevangelized world is poor, but what we saw a few months ago when we were in India really sort of captured our hearts and shocked us into a new reality. We were in India in Rajasthan, the state of Rajasthan, real deserty, poor area of India. And one of our friends took us to their, quote, IT mall. And the building was four stories tall, looked like it had been in the Iraq War, no paint, pieces falling off. But to get into this, you had to go up these stairs, but they were covered with rickshaw drivers who were sitting down, who had just purchased their own smartphone and were Bluetoothing Bollywood movies and music to each other. Mm-hmm. And rickshaw drivers, as you know, are the poorest of the poor in India. And here they had these mobile devices, and some of them could even access the internet.
Isn't that amazing? Just for the sake of clarity, what's Bollywood?
Well, Bollywood, of course, is in Bali of India, and they produce films that go all over the world. In fact, Bollywood produces more films than Hollywood does every year.
This originally comes from Bombay.
Yes, yeah, right, okay. Bombay, that's
which
right,
is,
sorry.
Which is now,
heaven, Mumbai, is now.
Mumbai now. Calvin, the thing I'd like to focus in on today's broadcast is you mentioned yesterday today, the using of indigenous actors so that you don't have a guy that looked like he stepped off the beach in Malibu who plays Jesus in a film, but that's someone that can be relatable to the people that you're being culture-specific and trying to reach. Give us an illustration of this and where you get your actors and then how they get their acting skills, et cetera.
Well, there's so many stories. Every one of these 55 films we've done has a news story, but I can remember when we were doing the Mongolian video, we were looking for a main actor, someone that would play the starring role, and we just weren't finding the right people. Now, when we go into these places, often, you know, there aren't Christians, for one thing, but when we do find some Christians, usually there's no such thing as a professional actor there, you know. Mm-hmm. So we have to coach them a lot. But the great thing is these folks come from a culture where everyone's an actor. Everyone's acting all the time, mm-hmm. and they're just natural actors. Mm-hmm. So you just give them a little bit of coaching, and they do fabulously. But this one guy in the Mongolian film that we did, actually, we found a taxi driver. He was a taxi driver, and he had a van, and he took us around, and after doing a little bit of casting and not finding a person for the role, my wife looked over and said, you know, have you ever done any acting? And he said, oh, maybe some little stuff, drama in high school or something. But we cast him, and he was fabulous. Mm. He was a Buddhist guy at the time, but by the end of the film, he had given his life to the Lord.
That's what I'm talking about. So in the actual making of the film, people are getting saved.
Yes, definitely. In fact, once we did a film for the Madaris, it's about 30 million people in Indonesia, and all of the actors, eight in the cast, were all Muslims. And this is a very devout Muslim group. Mm-hmm. But by the end of the film, about a month after we had shot the film, we found out all the whole cast had become believers, and they started to use the film to reach out to their family and friends.
Fantastic. So would you, for instance, use a Bible story like the prodigal son and indigitize it, or would you take a story out of their culture and add the gospel to it, or you'd do both?
All of those. We've done quite a few parable-type presentations. Some of them, you know, very biblical parable style. Others, we took the themes of the parable and created a modern story. Mm-hmm. But then, as well, often what we try to do is, what makes that people group unique? You know, what are they proud about, but also what do they know are problems in their society? What will be a believable story that will really grip their hearts? And then we take that, craft a story around that, and we weave the gospel message into it in a really natural way, not a preachy way, but a real natural way that comes through friends that have experienced Christ or whatever, and then they're very open to it.
And what if somebody was interested, a young person or even an older person who was interested in this kind of ministry, what would be their next step?
Well, we have something we call a year of median missions, and you can come to that, and the first 6 months you get training in the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about missions and media, how we can use that? You get a lot of opportunity to use media and arts in evangelism cross-culturally, and then the last part, you can actually choose to go to one of two tracks. One is cross-cultural film production or animation and cartooning for missions.
Calvin, we've been talking a little bit about your ministry and how it got started and the whole issue of making indigenous films, but you have several branches to Create International. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Indigitech and then perhaps the 2020 vision that you have to help multiply this ministry so it can reach more people who don't know Jesus?
Yeah, well, as you know, artists, when we create something, we want people to use it. We don't want it to just sit on a shelf and collect dust. You put so much time and effort and energy into it. So what we've done is created a website called indigitech.net, which gives away all of our films for free. And you can download all 55 films that we've produced in 6 different formats so that they can be played on either a smartphone, a dumb phone, whatever you have, an iPad, iPod, or a laptop. And so that's available. Anyone can access that website.
Now tell us a little bit about the 2020 vision that's a part of the ministry.
Well, another thing that the Lord spoke to us is that, yes, you've done 55 of these films and there's 150 to go. You're not going to be able to finish it yourself. You need help. And so one of the things that we've been doing is trying to create partnerships with other media ministries as well as churches that have a passion to reach unreached peoples. And we were recently at a large missions gathering and asked to lead the media track of that missions gathering. And there gathered together were a number of ministries that do film, but they haven't done anything, you know, for indigenous peoples yet. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to challenge them. And the whole 2020 vision is that by the year 2020, we could have all 150 of these people groups with an indigenous evangelistic film. So we're challenging people to come on board and do that with us.
Now, we talked about the Jesus film a few days ago. I was with Paul Eshelman, who's was the main distributor for the Jesus film for years. And Paul has now come up with several different DVDs of evangelistic videos, but I think they're a little different. They're mostly filmed by Westerners. One is called La Buscueta, which is about the search, kind of a modern-day prodigal son, although it's a daughter. But without language, it's just visual. How is yours different from that, and what would be the advantage of both means of media?
Well, I think those films that you've mentioned are really good because they're short films, and that's one thing we're getting into a lot more. And short films have a lot more usability. You can put them on the internet easily or on YouTube, on mobile devices, phones, and things, and it's easier for them to be distributed that way. Mm-hmm. But there needs to be films where they're produced where that unreached people group is the audience for the film, not something produced for another audience that is then dubbed. Because then what it does is it emphasizes or reinforces a wrong belief that Jesus is a foreign God.
Mm-hmm. That was the big problem on the Areopagus Paul was saying that Jesus rose from the dead, and they misunderstood him to mm-hmm. say there was two different gods named mm-hmm. Jesus and resurrection. And so the need for Paul, and then he contextualized the gospel. Well, we're almost out of time today, but if you want to get a hold of Create International, you can go to their website and learn all about this exciting ministry, at least 55 films among unreached people groups, plus all kinds of opportunities for training in media and in filmmaking to be able to reach out with the good news of Jesus in a way that is understood by the people. The website, createinternational.com.
Saying out of a sinner.